Today on Real Life Radio.
When you were born again, that happened one time. You never have to be born again, 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 and again. You're born again once. And how do you know? The Holy Spirit takes you and places you into the body of Christ.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that Christian battles are sometimes lost simply because we fail to get involved? It's why our current featured resource can have such a powerful impact. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct, written by award-winning author Frank Turek. Dr. Frank tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism. Correct, Not Politically Correct is available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. You'll find that at jackhibbs.com. jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with the message titled, When is a Church Relevant? Part 4. Now, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us how the church is the profound connection between Christ and his people. You see, God really takes his church very seriously. It's the church with its individual members and Jesus as the head of the church that forms the body. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that heaven is our ultimate home, and whoever calls on the Lord Jesus Christ will be going there. Now, with his message called When is a Church Relevant? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John 3:3, and Jesus answered and said to him, stop right there, who's the him? The him is Nicodemus. Pastor, how does a Jew get to heaven? You're going to find out in a second. Jesus said this to a Jew. Well, how does a religious person get to heaven? You're going to find out in a second. Jesus said it to a religious person. Well, how does a priest get to heaven? Jesus is going to tell the priest in a moment how to get to heaven. This encompasses everyone, my friend. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, born from above, has a second birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And at this, Jesus slapped him, wondering why he was so dumb. No, I'm kidding. I mean, don't you get that thought? It's like, what is this guy? It's obvious you can't worship. I got to go find my mom. Oh, really? And then you're going to have to get really tiny. And you're going to have to start all over again. Jesus said, verse 5, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's mama, having come through your mother, and the Spirit, it has nothing to do with water baptism. Unless a person is born the first time and the second time, born of the Spirit, he will not enter the kingdom of God. Are you born again? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, this is the New Living Translation. I don't usually quote it, but I like the way this sounds. 1 Peter 1:22. Now you can have sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters because you were cleansed from your sins when you accepted the truth of the good news. That's the gospel. So see to it that you really do love each other intensely with all your hearts. For you have been born again. Your new life did not come from your earthly parents because the life they gave you will end in death. But this new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. And everybody said, amen. That is awesome. Point number two, it is this. When were a church empowered by God? When is a church relevant? Answer, when we are empowered by God. When we are empowered by God. Number one, right here. When we're empowered by God, church, we will be occupied with knowing our new identity. Verse 13. Very, very key. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit, notice capital S, the Holy Spirit, Underline this, Bible student. We were all. How many of us? All. We were all baptized. This is all a past tense statement, my friend. Into one body. Notice that. For by one spirit were we, past tense, all of us together united, baptized. It happened at a point in time into one body, the church. And Christ being the head. This is very, very important. Number one, Bible student, mark this down. Baptized. The word baptized here means to be placed into. It means to be immersed. By the way, this word is used in many applications. One of them is here. And also water baptism, which is a very, very different baptism than what we're speaking about. We're not talking about water here at all. Placed into, immersed into, submerged into. To make, listen, to make completely full, we wouldn't say it this way, but this is the word, to make completely or full-whelmed. You've heard of overwhelmed? The word means full-whelmed. You see, what does that mean? It's beautiful. Imagine a mold. Do you guys remember when we were little kids? Some of us who are really old. Do you remember those things, creepy crawlers? You'd heat up the thing and pour it in there and it would heat up and then it would set and you'd pull them out and chew on them and throw them at stuff that stick on the wall, that little... Okay, you take that thing. You take that mold. Mold. I keep saying mold. Mold. And you pour into it and it takes the exact shape. No bubbles, no nothing. Perfect. The Holy Spirit takes a lost, lonely, hell-bound sinner who cries out to Jesus, and in that second, takes that new believer and pours him into the mold of Christ. Remember the statement a moment ago? In Christ? Yeah. There you go. And when that mold cools and you pull it out, that thing shows the exact image. It was a goopy, worthless piece of snot-looking stuff. And when you poured it in and it got heated up, it took shape. And when it completely took on the shape, the image of that thing that was firm and hard, and you release it, it looks exactly like the original. That's you right now. You say, I don't see myself like that. Well, open your eyes, will you? This is you, empowered with a new identity, knowing that. Notice with me that the statement here is powerful, because what is the act? The act is being baptized. But there's no water in the event. Who's the agent doing it? Is it a pastor baptizing you in water? No, it's the Holy Spirit placing you into the family of God. Listen, I hope you get excited about this. According to this and the structure and the word and the theology of it, the Holy Spirit only does this one time. Amen. In your life. Watch. He only has to do it one time. Well, Pastor, I gave my heart to the Lord last week, but I want to come forward again. Oh, we know what you mean. I mean, we mean you had a rough week. That's what you had. But my dear friend, the reason why you want to rededicate or grow with Jesus is because at some point in time, you cried out to God. The Holy Spirit took you and placed you into the body of Christ. When you were born again, that happened one time. You never have to be born again and again. You're born again once. And how do you know? The Holy Spirit takes you and places you into the body of Christ. See this water? The water is in here. It was placed inside. The water is taking the shape of this bottle. The bottle, look at that. It's contained, it's holding. Imagine Christ, imagine the Holy Spirit, and you're inside here. Imagine that. This happens once. It's very important that you remember that. But we are empowered by this number one truth. If you're born again, you are an empowered believer and you'll be relevant. Listen, I got some good stuff to get to if I would just hurry up. The first time believers in the Bible were ever born again. When did it first happen? John chapter 20. hands down. The first time the believers were ever born again, John chapter 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Look at your screen. Look at the Bible. Receive the Holy Spirit. You know what this is? Listen, this is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is not what happened in the book of Acts when they began to preach the word of God with boldness or speak in tongues or raise the dead. This is not it. Receive the Holy Spirit. When was the first time that the Holy Spirit indwelt a believer, never to leave them or ever forsake them? Right here, John chapter 20. Isn't that exciting? That's the first time. And it's happened, I pray, I trust, a billion times plus more since throughout the last 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the church. Listen, I want to read something to you. It's good stuff. There is much confusion about the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit that frankly doesn't need to be, says Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Here we see that there is a baptism that is conducted by the Holy Spirit that results in a believer becoming a member of the body of Christ, the church. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which places a believer into the body of Christ as at the moment of salvation. I'm going to put this quote up on the screen by Dr. R.A. Torrey. I love Dr. Torrey, founder of Biola University. Read everything he's written. You'll do good. Dr. R.A. Torrey says this, and look at your screen here. The baptism of the Spirit occurs at conversion when the Spirit enters the believing sinner, giving him new life, born again, and makes his body the temple of God. All believers have experienced this once for all baptism. Next slide. Nowhere does the scripture command us to seek this baptism because we have already experienced it and it need not be repeated. However, the filling of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, has to do with the Holy Spirit's control of our lives. In Scripture, to be filled by something means to be under its control. We are commanded to be filled, and we can be as we yield to Christ and ask Him for the Holy Spirit. This filling is a repeated experience, an ongoing experience, for we constantly need to be filled with the spiritual power that provides, that He provides if we are going to glorify Christ. To be baptized by the Holy Spirit means that we belong to Christ's body. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means that our bodies belong to Christ. How cool is that? Are you a believer? Yes. Have you been born again? Yes. Then the Spirit of God baptized you once and for all into the church. You're never going to be taken out. You're born again. You don't believe for a while and then recant on your faith or your belief. You are a child of God. And because the Spirit of God, listen, not only dwells in you, He will lead you and guide you, the Bible says in John 14, verse 17. The Bible says, Jesus said it, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells, what? With you and shall be in you. Fulfilled in John chapter 20. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. This is fantastic. This is liberating.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Secondly, when is the church empowered by God, and will we be a relevant witness? Yes. Listen, when we're occupied with pressing on with Jesus. When I saw you guys worshiping a moment ago, that's exactly what you were doing. You were pressing on and pressing into Jesus. When you do that, now look, allow me. Somebody might say to me, well, Pastor, standing up and raising your hands doesn't mean anything. Yes, I understand. But listen, let's be fair. Let's let God be the judge of hearts. Okay? Because it can mean a lot. What do you think? The Bible says that men and women ought to lift holy hands unto God. It says so. Committed to Him, pressing on with Jesus. John MacArthur recently said in an interview, it's excellent what he said. John MacArthur was asked this, what would you do differently if you could start your ministry all over again? His answer was refreshing. John MacArthur answered and said, I would be a lot less impressed with my abilities to organize and to motivate and a lot more dependent upon the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, said John MacArthur. What a great statement. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Listen carefully, everybody. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You should know this. Thirdly, under this point, we're almost done. When we're a church empowered by God, we'll be occupied with being ready for his return. Being ready for his return. We hear a lot today about Jesus coming again. It's the end of the world. Things are crazy. These are the last days. Well, truly, Jesus is coming again. And the Bible does say that technically for the last 2,000 years, these have been the last days. John, the Apostle John, says there's going to be a time, though, that the believers will recognize that we are in the last hour. He's not talking about the last 60 minutes. He's talking about the last moments of the last days. But why do we say these things? Well, these are the last days. You know, these are the last days. Why does History Channel and National Geographic have all these programs now almost all the time about Armageddon, the end of the world, and all that? What's going on? When the Bible tells us, for by one spirit were we all baptized into one body, understand this. We're occupied now with a whole new life and a whole new world regarding the empowerment of God. And that is, we're longing for our true relationship with God in heaven. We need to remember that. It's tough to think about heaven with weather that we have like this in these last few years or days. It's just really nice outside. You'd never realize looking around that there's so much evil and danger in the world, but these are the last days. See, what does that have to do with anything? Listen, the success of the church is guaranteed to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to be active the more and more we get into the last days. John 16, 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Isn't this tender? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you, listen, tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Church, it is essential that you and I be occupied with the fact that these are the last days that Christ could return and we want to be ready for his coming. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 says, but concerning the times and the seasons, listen, everybody, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Why, Paul? Because you're going to know. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Don't ever let someone tell you, well, you know, I don't worry about it because he's going to come like a thief in the night. I would run away from that person as fast as you could. You want to know why? Listen, verse 2. For the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, for when they say, not you, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit empowering you? You will be ready in the last day's events. Keep your lamps burning with oil, Jesus said. Third and final point, this is where we end. When is a church relevant? Verse 13, when we're a church at large in this world, at large. At large means, I think you know what it means, but to be at large means to be deployed. In a military term, we would say deployed. It means to be sent out globally. Now watch, globally in your neighborhood, globally in your family, globally in your city, globally in your world. A relevant church will be a church that's at large in this world. Three things. We'll be at large in this world, but not of it. Look at verse 13. Not of the world, but we're in it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 14. Grab this. This is awesome. How can we be in this world, but not of the world? How can we be a godly, at-large church with our witness and be relevant? Verse 13 says, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, Christians, okay? We have, past tense, all been, past tense, made, past tense, to drink into one spirit. See, what's the big deal? This is the big deal. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and 14. This is fun. By that will, that is the will of Christ, we have been. Can somebody say, listen, count of three, say have been. One, two, three.
Have been.
We have been. It means it's done. We have been sanctified, set apart, devoted to God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Watch. We have been, by the offering of Jesus, we have been positioned positionally and practically before God, washed in the blood of Jesus. Watch this. Verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected, made complete forever those who are being sanctified, practically, positionally. See, what, it's a contradiction. Are we sanctified or not? Yes. Have I been or am I? Yes. See, what do you mean? I came here this morning. I got in my truck. I drove here this morning because I'm a Christian. You and I are together right now because we're Christians. What's happening right now is because God's here, the Holy Spirit's at work, we're Christians. Amen. Watch, when was I a Christian? When I got here? No, when I left my house. Are you with me? You arrived as a Christian because you're a Christian. You declared to be a believer by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've come here today. Listen, you came because you were sanctified, and us being here right now, we are being sanctified by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Because you are developing in faith as a believer, that can only happen in practical sanctification, practically living out your life for God now here in this world, because positionally it's already sealed in heaven. I'm going home to where I really belong. You are a believer today and you're walking with Jesus because God in heaven has called you to be his own. That excites me. That causes me now to realize that the earth is his footstool. I get to be a believer at large, but I'm not of the world. I'm not of this world anymore. I've been changed. Next, we'll be in this world reaching out to this world, won't we, as believers? James chapter 1, verse 26 tells us, if anyone among you thinks that he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion's useless. It means you're not a believer. You just talk about it a lot. Next verse, 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep yourself unspotted from this world. What does that mean? Listen to this. Because God owns you and you are stamped, powered by God, loved by God, owned by God, you have no right. You and I have no right to go and conduct ourselves like the world and become no longer relevant to our culture. You have no right. You have no right to view pornography. You have no right. You have no right to go get drunk and plastered and mess up your witness. You have no right. You and I don't have it. We've been bought with a price. We are owned by God. We can't take ourselves into this adulterous relationship or this fornication or this homosexual thing or you fill in the blank. We have no right. Love. The fact that God has forgiven us, that love should drive you away from those evils. Those are the things your heart should beat with a desire to follow God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called When is a Church Relevant? Part 4. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.